Chip, Messiah. It's a good girl gone bad. Woman at the well. Action.
In John chapter 4.
I was thirsty, was this lady asked her to help me. Sat with her all alone.
The disciples were all gone.
We talked together, asked her for some water, and she began to stutter. You ask me? A Samaritan and a Jewish man don't talk, that's always been the way. Hey, that attitude is whack. Listen to my words and I'll get your own track.
He spoke right to my heart, even though we were worlds apart. He sat and talked to me, said he was thirsty. I said, I can't help you. I'm Samaritan and you're a Jew. He said, if you knew who I'd be, you'd ask for a drink from me. Because a drink from me, you'll be thirsty never. Living water lasts forever. Said on this you can depend. I will love and provide for you till the end. Now listen to me, sister, brother. Worship him, that Jesus fella. Take it from the woman at the weller. That's me, I'm the woman at the weller. Weller, weller.
Now hear these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Jesus realized that the Pharisees were keeping count of the baptisms that he and John performed. They had posted the score that Jesus was ahead, turning him and John into rivals in the eyes of the people. So Jesus left the Judean countryside and went back to Galilee. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to a Samaritan. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to give me this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it, and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us? Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I give you will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be a spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. The woman said, sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again. He said, go call your husband and then come back. I have no husband, she said. That's nicely put. I have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough. Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worshiped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right? Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at the mountainside nor in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear, light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews, but the time is coming. It has, in fact, come when you will be called not matter, and when you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simple and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. The woman said, I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming. When He arrives, we'll get the whole story. I am He, said Jesus. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. Just then, His disciples came back. They were shocked. They couldn't believe He was talking with this kind of a woman. No one said what they were all thinking, but their faces showed it. The woman took their hint and left. In her confusion, she left her water pot. Back in the village, she told the people, come, see a man who knew all about the things I did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think this could be the Messiah?
I hate going to the well in the middle of the day. It's so hot, and it's a long walk. But I've tried going in the morning, and I've tried going in the evening, and, you know, neither of those times seem to work for me. I guess I should tell you my name. Actually, let's not bother with that. Just call me the woman at the well. None of my peers call me by my name. They snicker about me, and they just refer to me as, oh, the woman at the well. In fact, that's why I'm here now at noon, because you see, I got really tired of coming in the morning when all the other women came. I thought maybe I could make some friends and maybe we could talk and laugh together and share our stories, but they won't have anything to do with me. So I gave up on coming in the morning, and then I thought, well, okay, I'll go in the evening instead. Maybe there will be a different group of women. Maybe they will like me and they'll talk to me and accept me and to include me. You know, it's lonely not having any friends. They didn't include me either. You know, you don't have to be brilliant to realize that you're not wanted. You can tell by the way that people look at you or the way they whisper behind their hands. So I gave up on going to the well in the morning, and at the night, I come at noon. I go when it's hot. You know, I've tried to figure out why it is that they don't like me so much. The only thing that I can figure out is, you know, maybe either they're jealous of me. I've had a few husbands, but what they don't understand is they've never taken the time to listen to me tell them my story about why I've had so many. The first, my dad picked out for me, and I could have told you before we ever got married that it was not going to be a match that would work. So that one ended, and then the second one, well, it just wasn't the right match. It wasn't a good fit. And then the third, he said I was a little high maintenance, and so that relationship ended too. And the fourth was a rebound. And the fifth one, it just didn't work. So now I'm not even married. The guy that I'm with now, we're living together, and he tells me that he has no desire to marry me whatsoever because he knows that it won't end well. So we're just together. You know, maybe if they'd listen to me, maybe if they'd take time to hear my story, they'd know that I'm not this evil person. Sure, I've made mistakes, haven't we all? Haven't you? I wish they would look at me with eyes of compassion and take some time to get to know me and not just judge me. I wish they would understand that I have feelings too. You're not going to believe it. What I've always wanted, what I've always been looking for, came in the most unexpected way. So I got to the well. I was hot and tired, and there was this man there. Now, this man was different than the other men that I know, and he was in territory that he shouldn't have been in. So that struck me as a little odd when I got there. He was a Jewish man, and I thought, well, okay, I'm just going to get my water really fast, and then I'll go back home. And so I went up to the well, and I was getting ready to reach down and start to draw the water, and then he talked to me. Now, I need you to understand that Jewish men, first of all, men don't really, you know, talk to women. We know our place in society right now. And here's this Jewish man, and he talked to me. A Samaritan woman. Do you know how many, you know, rules and laws that he broke just by doing that? But it's better than that. He didn't just say, hello, good morning, or good midday, how are you? He looked at me and he asked me for some water. A Jewish man asked a Samaritan woman for some water. Now, you know, if he was of average intelligence, which I think that he was, when I tell you the rest of the story, I think you'll agree with me. If he was of average intelligence, he would have known, you know what, you might want to stay away from her. She's bad news. Because, you know, the women that were revered in our society, they didn't go to the well at noon. I was there alone. Who goes to the well alone? And so he asked me for water. And I have to admit, I was a little shocked and surprised. Now I looked at him, I'm like, you are asking me for water? And he said, well, yes. Yes. And I'm like, you, whatever. You can't be asking me for water. You don't even have anything here to dip the water with. You're a Jewish man. I'm a Samaritan woman. And then he said something that was a little weird. He said, well, if you knew of God's graciousness, and if you knew of God's generosity, then you would be asking me for water. I thought, well, that's odd. You know, we come here, you're asking me for water, and now you're turning it around and telling me that I would be asking you for water. And then he brings God into it. What did that have to do with anything? Either he's thirsty or he isn't. But I thought, you know, I'm going to engage in this banter. And so that's when I said to him, you know, hey, you don't even have anything to get the water out of the well with. And then he talked to me about this living water. And that was odd too. I thought, you know, are you saying that you're like better than Jacob who built this well, our ancestor? What's up with that? Living water? What do you mean living water? And he kept talking about this living water. And if I would drink this living water, then I wouldn't be thirsty again. Well, wouldn't that be amazing? Because I'm so tired of walking to this well day in and day out with no friends and no one that will accept me and love me. I'm tired of coming here alone. I'm tired of my loneliness. And he's talking about this living water, this fresh water. And I'm like, all right, I'm all about it. Give me that living water so I won't be thirsty again. But guess what? I misunderstood. He wasn't talking just about fresh, you know, Dasani water. He was talking about real water. Water that came from this God of generosity and this God of grace that he talked to me about. So we kept on with our banter, which the longer he stayed and talked to me, the more I realized there's something special about this man. He's not like all the other men that I knew. When I would look at him, when I would look into his eyes, there was something there. And it wasn't like the other five husbands plus the guy that I'm living with right now when he was looking back at me. This was not anything like that. The look that he shared with me just had eyes of compassion and eyes of understanding and eyes of grace. There was no judgment there. And I know that's true because you see, the next thing that he said was, I mean, I was just awestruck. I couldn't believe what he said. After we had talked about the water, he said, now, you know, go get your husband. And I thought, well, okay, I may as well go on and fess up, you know, may as well tell him the truth. I said, you know, I don't have a husband. And he said, I know. I know? How could he know? How could this man know that I don't have a husband? He's Jewish. I'm a Samaritan. We didn't know each other. He couldn't know my history and my family. And you know, because there was just something unique and something different about this exchange with him, something inside me told me, okay, maybe this is different. Maybe he's a prophet. I've heard about prophets. We've talked about prophets. All my ancestors have told me that there would be prophets, and I'm waiting on this Messiah. Or have been waiting on a Messiah. And so I told him, okay, you know, I don't have a husband. And he said, you're right. You sure don't. You're telling the truth. I was glad I told the truth when I realized that he actually already knew the truth. And then he kept talking about God. We talked about some of the things that divided our peoples. You see, the Jewish people and the Samaritan people, we were, you know, talking about the fact that we still can't understand where we need to worship. The Jewish people thought we needed to worship in Jerusalem and the temple, and my people, the Samaritans, think we need to worship on top of this mountain. And our peoples, they argue back and forth. And remember, we don't get along. It's very much an us and to them. But he looked past all that. And then he told me about God. And he told me that, you know, someday titles wouldn't matter anymore. Imagine that. Titles and races and ethnicities and dividers that keep us apart from one another, that those wouldn't matter anymore. That all that would matter would be our hearts and how we chose to live and how we chose to love, that's what would matter, and that's what would connect us to this God, this eternal being, this spirit, this love. You know, the more he talked, the more I knew that there was something different about him. And so, you know, I asked him, are you a prophet? And then I told him that we were waiting on a Messiah. And he said, I am he. I can't begin to describe for you what it felt like in that moment when he looked at me and he said, I am he. He was not anything like I expected him to be. You know what? He was even better. Because the feeling of acceptance and love, and despite all the failures and mess ups that I had in my life, my sins, the things that have gotten in between me and God, he didn't care about any of that. He didn't sit and make out a list of all the things that I had done wrong. And like all my peers, he didn't shun me. He knew me. He knew all of me. He knew my soul. And he loved me anyway. And he told me, I am he. He's the one. He's the one we've been waiting for. And he was there just sitting at the well, waiting for me. You know what I believe? I believe with all that I am that he wasn't just there waiting for me, that he was there waiting for you. That this message of love and grace and acceptance and forgiveness, it is for us all. He said that. One day there won't be any divisions anymore. So this morning, won't you hear that message too? Won't you know that that compassion and that love and the forgiveness and the grace that he offered me that day, despite all my stuff, he offered me love and he offers it for you. Will you pray with me? God, to encounter the Messiah, it changes everything. It wasn't what I expected, and I never would have imagined that he would choose me. My friends, my peers, they don't like me, so the Messiah would come and reveal himself to me, but he did. God, all these years I've wondered and tried to figure out who you are and what you are and how you love us. And today I think I got a glimpse of that love. It's unconditional. And it's a love that accepts us where we are and takes away all the barriers that we have between us and you. God, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Will you stand for the benediction? So this is a little of an atypical Sunday. Normally, we have a closing song and you have a chance to respond to the closing song, but we wanted today to end with you remembering that the arms that stretched out wide on that cross are the same arms that welcomed a woman who was scorned by so many. So much so that she did have to go to the well alone. And that's who Jesus chose to reveal himself to. And he chose to reveal himself to her. And he reveals himself to us. We just have to accept that love. May you go in the peace and the grace and the hope of knowing that you are loved with a God whose love knows no end. In the name of Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.